Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey, hosted by two fellow travelers who found a soul connection on the path to higher consciousness. Our goal is to help you navigate the choppy waters you're likely to encounter on the spiritual path by sharing our experiences with you each week. Join us as we spill the tea on what it is like to wake up to your authentic self. Hi, I am Lola Singer. I am here with some special people, including my co-host.
And my name is Amaral. And today, on today's show, we have special guest. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Mo from half of Cosmic Earth Medicine. And I'm here with...
Aaron! I'm here too.
Yes, Aaron's very present. We've had the joy of having these two people be guests on our show before. Oh, that was the cat Mia making noise. And these two are professionals in the rock and mineral business. They go to shows across the country now, it seems like. Oh, okay, Western United States. And they know all about minerals. And if you hear some noises, also, in addition to Mia, our friend Mo is covered with bracelets.
Okay.
So, that's just to let people know. Okay. So if you hear noises, it's probably her bracelets because she loves rocks and minerals. She's got more than one on her hand. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So this podcast was designed to help people who are new to the spiritual journey. And I love that we're getting people who have been on the spiritual journey a long time saying mm-hmm. they like the podcast too.
Yeah.
But because we are catering this to people who are new, one of the things that I had no idea, and I still am kind of fuzzy on, to be perfectly honest, was that you would be working with the elemental kingdom as you go further and further into your spiritual journey, which I guess is why my entire cabin is filled with rocks. It is. It's like a rock museum.
It is. You could just walk around here for an hour just checking out all the different
rocks. It's true. It's better than most crystal shops I've been in.
And how you have them like set. Yeah, it is.
It is.
You have more variety here than your average crystal shop.
So I got into elementals, I guess, in my own unique way. But I'll be honest with you, because I am so clearly a galactic individual, I don't remember Earth being born. Okay, I wasn't here. My soul was on another planet while Earth was going through her formation. I do know people in the spiritual path who remember Earth forming. Mm-hmm. They've been here attached to Earth since the very beginning. They volunteered to be holding space here, and you would start as an elemental. But my brain has a hard time still wrapping around that concept because I'm just so... I came to colonize the Earth. I was already in human form, not a human, but in human form. So for me to understand that people can say, oh, I remember being a fairy, or I remember being a tree, it's just like, I have a hard time still, and I've been on the spiritual path wrapping my mind around that. And I imagine some of the people in the audience feel that way too. And other people think I'm insane. Others like, I clearly remember. Yes, I'm just like these other people. I remember Earth starting. I heard the call. I volunteered. I have a friend, Grace. She remembered. She said, I used to be a blue spark. I was a blue spark. Mm-hmm. And I heard the call and she came to Earth. Mm-hmm. So she remembers being a star. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, so welcome to Woo Wooville. Are we Woo Wooville enough for you already? So, because I am not the expert on elementals, we're calling this episode Elementals 101. I'm probably going to be deferring for the most part to our guests and to Amaral, because Amaral clearly remembers Earth.
Yes.
So I guess it's my time to sit back and let you take over, because this is really your milieu.
No, I love the fact that we have a little bit of a contrast. So on the opposite end of spectrum things, I really connect with elementals. In fact, I have traveled the world to different places, and especially in Mexico, in really Central America, the elementals really come up front. And when I first was going through, because if I don't know if you guys remember, but I went through a fast awakening, meaning like in 2020 is when I started my awakening truly journey. So at first I was traveling to all these places, and of course there's connection, there's feeling, but I had no clue. And then later on I realized, oh, it's because you had so many like elemental lifetimes. And then the memories started coming in. So I had fairy lifetimes. I had like just different type of elemental lifetimes. And so when I go to sacred places, the first, one of the things that people need to understand, and I think it's good because we're doing the Elementals 101, is whenever you go to sacred places, there is very protected because of the fact that those places have been messed with before. Mm-hmm. So the first energies that are going to greet you are going to be elemental beings that are protecting those places. Mm-hmm. Thankfully for me, because they said it was two mixes of two things. It was my heart space and the fact that they saw me as an elemental, so they saw me as no threat. So they would open up a lot of things. In fact, on one place I went to, they even gave me this gift to put on my heart space energetically when I was sleeping. I was taking a nap while traveling on a bus, and this huge elemental came to me and said, you need this because this will help you so you don't get any aggression from the elementals where you're going, because it's a very sacred part. And I understood why once I got there, but it's been incredible, just the experiences and stuff. And with this episode, we just want to open up to what is an elemental, what types of elementals, and
And then let's point out that these two guests are very connected to elementals, not just through their business with all the minerals you work with, but Sasquatch, for example. Yeah.
And
you're
the tree spirits.
Yes. Spirits, just forest beings.
Mother Earth herself is definitely an old friend. And, we are deeply connected to this great mother herself and all of her beings, because all of her beings do have that element of elemental, you know. It's so vast. I mean, you can connect to an ant and a caterpillar and a tree and a bird
and the wind.
I mean, spirit. I mean, she talks through the wind.
And one of the most common elemental energies that we all work with without even realizing is water.
Every day we're
working with water.
We work with water. And
drink water.
So that's
rains water.
Yeah, exactly. Are we, I mean, we're walking water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can relate to the four, actually five elements, because there's ether that mm-hmm. has been mm-hmm. written out of the history books for a reason. So we've got air, water, fire, earth, and ether. That I can completely relate to, and I understand calling in directions, like mm-hmm. when I'm doing ceremony with drums, things like that, I get. What I don't get is what other people might not get are the ones that a lot of people would consider mythological. Mm-hmm. So let's go through a list of the ones you're aware of, so that maybe they know. So we talked about fairies.
Mm-hmm. Gnomes.
Gnomes would be the earth.
Yeah, and then...
Sylphs are the water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, wait. Sylphs are...
That's sky spirit.
Sylphs are the air. Sorry. Yeah. Sylphs are associated with air. Spirit. Undines are the water. So, but then there's, on top of it, there's things like, people talk about different kinds of dragons. Mm-hmm. Like there can be a water dragon. There can be a fire dragon.
Exactly.
People talk about even things like griffins and phoenixes and... leprechauns and all these things that you were trained to believe were all fairy tales. So let's just talk about you guys individually, okay? So let's start with our guests here. Yeah. What are some of the elementals that you know you feel a deep connection with? Let's start with Aaron.
Forest beings. Now, when I say forest beings, that can be pretty much any kind of entity that you would come across in the forest. And I guess the elemental to me, or at least what I call elemental, is just this energetic consciousness that is attached to different things you would find in the forest, like mushrooms, different kinds of plants, shrubs, trees. I would call all this conscious energy that I feel, I would call this elemental energy.
Okay, I can relate to that because they have their own aura. They have an essence.
They have an essence and they have a connected consciousness that they...
Well, especially the trees with the mycelium.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, and the mushrooms.
Yeah, absolutely. We can talk about, we should do a whole podcast just on trees.
Yeah, because if you send love to one tree, it goes to every tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have proven that there's electrical impulses that get sent through the mycelium network from one tree to the other tree. Mm-hmm. They watch it go out.
Yeah, so when I did live in Seattle, I could relate to the trees because when you touch them, you do feel calmer. Mm-hmm. So there was a bus stop on 3rd Avenue in the really bad part of town that I would wait at with a tree, and I would think, I would just put my hand on the tree and just thank it in my head and say, hey, if you're doing all this work in Seattle, I'm thanking you, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and you love hugging trees, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and trees are super responsive. So we just did, Mo and I just did a sound bath this last weekend. Mm-hmm. Really beautiful sound bath. Really one of the best I've ever gone. Might have been the best I've ever gone to, actually. But anyway, the guy that was doing it was against the backdrop of this giant window, and behind him was his trees. And as he was doing, I opened my eyes, and as he was doing the different sounds that he was making for us.
And he was creating the sounds with just his voice. There was no instruments involved.
Yeah, he was
extremely
talented guy. The trees were responding to the music, and they were swaying to the music. None of the other trees, like I was looking all around, none of the other trees were moving, like from wind or anything, but the trees that were right behind this window, I could actually see moving and responding to the frequency.
And that leads me to something that people can even look at. There's videos, I know on TikTok and probably on YouTube too, where people stand near a tree branch and they ask the tree, hey, will you please touch my face? Please touch my face. Eventually they do.
I've had so many experiences with trees literally talking to me and having witnesses where they've talked to a friend when we've asked it questions, especially at Discovery Park. That was one of my first experiences. Of like, I always talk to the trees. They always talk to me back. Mm-hmm. But I had somebody who I would consider a muggle say, did you hear that? And he said the same thing, which was, yeah, sure, go ahead, which was not like a normal phrase. Like I asked, hey, can I climb you? And it said, yeah, sure, go ahead in my head. And then he did the same thing. He asked, can I climb you, tree? And the tree said, yeah, sure, go ahead in his head. And that's a pretty big coinkydink. Mm-hmm. And the trees have done countless things in that way to show me. And then when I met one of my first like seer people, she whispers to me, she goes, you talk to the trees, don't you? Mm-hmm. And they talk back. And I was like, oh, the first time I'd ever really truly been seen. Mm-hmm. You know, because I knew no one knew that about me, because I didn't go around telling people. I just acted like myself around them. The trees are definitely one of my favorite elementals here on the planet, that's for sure.
I would say that the trees are the tree elemental spirits are who I connect with the strongest as far as elemental energy goes.
Did you have an experience with a tree as a tree here?
I have had that experience, but even I would say even more than like the crystal, like Mo and I, we work with crystals and minerals every single day. So we have that connection, but I feel even a stronger connection to the trees. I have a short story about a time I had done a plant medicine journey. And I actually lived an entire life as a tree, like the full centuries as a tree. And I lived it in this, you know, in our time, it was only like an hour, but in the reality that I had gone into for this, I actually lived this entire life of a tree. And really got to feel what it was like to be a small tree waiting its turn, like a little 1 or 2 foot tree waiting its turn to get enough sunlight to grow. Mm-hmm. And growing up, the sounds of nature and how my tree body reacted to the nature. And then as it fast forward through the centuries into the future, when man came with all of our industrialism and the loud noises that we make, how the tree responds to those noises, and actually almost how torturous and unbearable it is for, like, for example, when jets fly over, the feeling that I had when jets fly over as a tree, it was just such an unbearable feeling for me as a tree. And through this, I really feel like I made a really good connection with the tree spirit energy, with the elemental tree energy and consciousness, I should say. So that's maybe why I probably connect to them.
So this would be a concurrent life.
I don't know what concurrent means.
Same time. Because you're in physical form as a human right
now.
Very
tree-like.
But you're talking about jets as a tree.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess it would be concurrent to either this time or
right, because they say our past lives are actually concurrent lives,
right? Well, it's all
concurrent.
Right? Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But I found that fascinating when you were talking about it being a jet going overhead. I go, but that's only in the last, you know.
Yeah, well, when I started as this tree,
few decades, there was no
loud noises like
that.
Yeah,
of course not.
It was just the sounds of nature and animals and talking and that kind of stuff.
See, this is why it's hard for me to wrap my head around these things. So I have to sit there and listen to you and go, well, he's talking about jets. Wait a minute. Mm. And I'm sure other people who are listening are probably thinking the same thing too. But if we recognize what a lot of people are saying is that your time loops. So your past lives are actually, you're living them at the same moment. And you're just giving a lot of attention to this body right now.
And trees, especially trees that are in ancient forests, they don't only have the experience of right now. They have the experience of 1,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. Because all that knowledge and information stays within the roots and the mycelium network underneath the ground, and it's all there, and they can access it and feel it. So one tree at the one side of the forest has this experience, the tree all the way on the other side.
Well, the other side of the world, not just the forest,
100 years later can still have that same experience as the tree on the other side.
That puts so much together for me that what a tree told me once was like, this is the reason why, you know, people say you can find a tree and ask it for help and to do things, right? And I thought, oh, I wonder how that's done. But it makes sense, right? If they have this boundless opportunity by the connection of the past and the present and the future, they really can move mountains for you and create realities for you and help you in ways that we feel so trapped in by time, you know, thinking that we're just trapped. You know, like they have this better connection. I remember reading a book once talking about how we're starting to be able to talk to trees. Like there's been technology now that they're hooking trees up and the trees.
You can hear their frequency.
Yeah, they hear, you can
hear
their frequency.
You can hear their music.
So, so let's just say in a couple years when we're actually able to talk to them, there won't be any kind like opportunity for crime on the planet or anything like that, because you can go to a tree and say, hey, what happened here? You know, like what happened here on the night of February, whatever, you know, like, cause they see over everything. Right. Mm-hmm. So there could be the chance for lies or those kind of things would be so limited because the trees are watching it. All of us.
The tree would be like, then he peed on me.
Whatever it is, you know, it's just like, I mean, we, you know, people always talk about elementals as being, you know, the fae and with which they are, and then all the dragon, all that, you know, those kind of things. But man, we have these elementals, the rocks, you know, are right here recording everything. Ancient. These rocks are ancient.
Yes.
And they're recording our entire, they're pieces of this great mother. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love crystals so much, because I'm like, okay, they're trying to speak a language to all of us. That's why we're so attracted to it. Mm-hmm. But it's not in English. It's never going to be in English. Just same with the trees. It's a different type of language to connect with these elementals.
Yeah, I think trees are like so amazing to me, because I have never really been able to talk to a tree until I moved to my last place and a tree just started talking to me, and I was so shocked because I was like, there's no one around. But it was telepathically too. So it was never like vocal. And it was interesting because that tree, I love to ground in it. Mm. My favorite thing back when I was like really on 3D, living the 3D life, is I would work and I would be so stressed out and so filled with all this excess energy, and there was nothing like being barefoot, walking on the grass, and then like setting your hands on a tree and asking for it to relieve the excess of that energy. And I kept doing this and I would kept thinking it and everything. So it's kind of like I developed this relationship with it until it started talking to me, and it was like, oh, this is so much cooler, because now it's like almost like I can hear it, and it tells me so many things, and it's just amazing the things that they have to say to us. And they truly, I mean, as long as we are respectful to them and as long as we're connecting with them and seeing them as like equal, as far as we're all made out of source energy, then they're more than willing to share things and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh. Well, they share just physically, because they're taking what we're expelling and transforming it. They're using it and then giving us oxygen. So it's just such a beautiful relationship no matter what.
It's almost like it was designed that way.
Almost. Who'd have thunk it? Okay, so yeah, well, that was an interesting way to start talking about trees. And then, Emeril, you actually remember being a fairy, right?
Yes, I had fairy lifetimes. And those were the funnest lifetimes because I still remember, like, being able to fly, being able to chase each other. It's like playfulness, so much playfulness. In fact, whenever I want to connect with joy, I feel like the fairies really got me. But one of the things about that I really want to share now, even in this present time, when I, because I've been traveling, when we traveled to this lakes, and I still remember, like, if it was like just yesterday, there was these lakes in the border of Mexico and Guatemala. And what those lakes, what the tour person said is these lakes connect from the underground. And I was like, they connect from the underground. It's like, yeah, there's water supplies everywhere that they're like, fill them out. And there's like cenotes and there's all these things. Well, I saw something different on the water. Like, literally, it was like, yes, it was sparkly. Yes, it was beautiful. But it was like something else. It was like this flow of energy in the water. So sure enough, we get to these like boats that have been there for thousands of years. And I touched the water. As soon as I touched the water like gives me all these downloads and stuff like that. And one of the things is I had an elemental start talking to me and telling me all this story as the tour guide is like, there's been sightseeing of mermaids here. And so we have as a general rule of nobody fishes at night because that's when they come out. And if you do come out, you're intruding their territory and they're defensive because it's their home. It's literally they're protecting it. But the mermaid's telling me like all these things about how there's like underneath, there's all these waterways and they actually is like their home. It's underneath and they have like these major buildup things. It's almost like equal to a city that we would consider. And then it was so crazy because I still remember that experience because it was so vivid. It was so clear. And I remember even watching this like documentary on how all of South Mexico is literally there's nothing but water underneath and all these tunnels. And it's so ginormous. And they just discovered that there's a, like a direct connection between the pyramids themselves. And I'm like, it's interesting to me because even though we as woo-woo people like are open to all these things and all these connections, but it's like, it's almost like our current life 3D, I guess, to call it better, it's barely catching up to there's so much more that we don't know about. And elemental beings are like amazing beings as far as, yes, they're very protective of their home, same as you would be about yours. Because one of the things they've always told me is like, if you come into like the trees or whatever, and then you start cutting them down, or you start like harming them, creating fires, like just totally being, of course they're going to be upset. That's their home. That's what they protect. And they function differently. And it was really interesting because when I first came to the cabin, I could feel the elemental beings. However, they would be like far away from Lola's house. And Lola told me she has...
because I've made a deal.
Yeah, she made this deal of, I don't mess with you, but you don't mess with me. And I'm like, they kind of... like, because it was funny because what they said to me, they're like, we think she's a witch. So they would stay away. But it was just so funny because it was just, it's amazing when you open up. And I think that we, when we come to them with an open heart, that's when that we open up that communication, that connection. And then you're showing yourself who you truly are. So they don't have any fear but to be themselves. But I want to hear Sasquatch stories because I love Sasquatch.
I will definitely tell you some Sasquatch stories. Thank you. So the Sasquatch beings have been in my life since I was a little girl. And my mom would always say you were always, anytime we even drove past any type of forest, I would be waving. And she'd say, what are you waving at? And I'd just be like, you know, the big hairy guy. And then when we saw Harry in the Hendersons movie, I actually knew what this was now that I had been seeing. Since I was a little girl, they were very, very much my protector. I had a pretty tumultuous childhood with lots of interactions from, I would say, galactic races that maybe didn't have the best intentions. So to have these big hairy guys that were always had my back and were kind of, you know, my great protectors was just so incredible. And so as I was growing up, I was always reading books about the monsters on the planet. Anything I could get a hold of, Loch Ness, any, you know, mermaids, mm-hmm. anything about anything like that, that's all I read about. But it couldn't be stories about them that were like made up. They had to be like real accounts from real people. And so when I met Aaron, you know, he asked me, what are you reading? And I didn't lie to him. I told him I was reading the Psychic Sasquatch book. And he said, oh, that sounds really interesting. And that was a really big connection between us because he didn't think I was crazy and weird. He went and got the book and he started reading it too. And that's what sent us really on this path of getting more connected to what we consider our family and our, you know, big brother and big sister mm-hmm. that are here on this planet as we speak, but in a frequency that we cannot perceive when we are not in our highest vibration, yeah. because this is we're kind of locked into the 3D, especially if we're feeling sad or we're having doubts about ourselves or we're not living in authenticity.
Yeah.
We don't get this. That's why the natives were able to see, and the indigenous people of this planet were able to see Sasquatch. And like a couple weeks ago, I had this woman, she said, my grandmother always made pies for the Sasquatch.
Oh.
And she had a relationship with a Sasquatch family. And why? Because she was in that lighthearted, giving state,
yeah.
that knowing like there's no fear, right? And I've had several experiences with Sasquatch. I have seen them with my 3D eyes, but it's always been in a place of joy, mm-hmm. of singing, of dancing, of drumming, something where it lifts your vibration. And I remember this one time I was out in our own backyard, in our own house, where we didn't have very many neighbors. And I was crying and crying and just asking for my Sasquatch guide to show himself because I could feel him. He was there. Mm-hmm. I could feel him. And I was like, but I could also feel that he was hesitant. He didn't want to scare me,
mm-hmm.
you know, like this was the thing. And I said, please, I can handle it. I can handle it. Please just show me. I'm in my own area. It's daytime. You know, I know you're big. I know, you know, like all these things. And he poked me in my butt. And I, like, not in it, but, like, he,
yeah.
the cheek. And I jumped up, screamed so loud, absolutely just, like, and I felt so bad that I had been scared. And I could hear in my head, and he said in telepathy, see, little sister, not ready. So they are so kind and loving to us, even in this way of getting us to be in the ability to perceive them. And they really listen to your heart. That's the best part about almost all elementals, like you said, was that they know our intention and they know where our fear is, and they don't want to disrupt our nervous system, because that is our key to any of this, is our yeah. nervous system. That's why there's so much, you know, of the opposite forces that are always trying to disrupt our endocrine. I don't know how to say that, but the
endocrine.
Yeah, our system, right? Mm-hmm. Because we need to be in a certain frequency to perceive these beings moving. We are ants on a highway. I truly believe mm-hmm. that in this density, they're right here next yeah. to us. Yeah. I'm sure we have many fae in this room yeah. right now. We have many elemental beings that we just aren't able to see in our perception.
Because they don't make themselves available to
exactly.
us. Because if they make themselves available to us, and that means they're bringing enough of themselves into our frequency and dimension. And imagine if you are a being that is almost purely empathetic. You know what I'm saying? That word.
We all know.
Yeah, you know, because why would they talk? They don't need to talk.
Yeah.
Why limit yourself with trying to pronounce every syllable to get something across?
You can just
have that. So
yeah.
That's imagine, frequency. It's all frequency. It's sound. Yeah.
So they yeah. bring themselves to us. That means they're subject to our thoughts and to mm-hmm. our feelings. And
who wants that?
We don't exactly
with humans.
Just like yeah. the jet, the sound of the jet in the tree, like the not like
the, exactly. Yeah. Just like yeah. the sound of the jets.
So that's why you guys are talking. You had to be really heart spaced for to experience
heart
them.
Space, clear your mind. Like you're talking about protection. Always ask permission mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. be in their area because it's their mm-hmm. area, and leave a gift. Offer them something.
I have heard that about Sasquatch in particular. Mm-hmm. Leave a
prayer.
Gift.
If you don't have something to give them, a prayer, a song. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why children are so much more able to see these realms, because they're just living their mm-hmm. authenticity. They're in their moment. That's why, you know, in biblical texts it says be like a child. It's the most important thing we can do now is to get into that playful spirit, into that playful heart. Because if you really do want to have connections with these beings, that is the key. The key mm-hmm. is through our hearts. It's not through our minds. It's not through trying to figure them out. Mm-hmm. It's getting us to raise into where they're at, because it's very, very rare, like Aaron was saying, that they push themselves into this dimension.
I do have something to share that I was an observer of, mm-hmm.
yeah.
but not directly involved with. And this was, I don't know how many years ago, probably at least 10 years ago. So two people I was in a tarot class with, it was established that one of them attracted brownies to her house, mm-hmm. which is why I told the elementals, I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone. Because apparently once a brownie gets in your house, they're super mischievous. And they're very hard to encourage to go.
They're like trickster pixies.
Super yeah, trickster. Yeah, yeah. But they also, from what I was understanding, because I had no experience with this stuff, but I was hearing my tarot teacher, who's an expert on all esoteric matters, talking to her about, oh, yeah, because he went to her house. You got brownies. Oh, and they're like the guests that want to stay, you know, that you know, they just make themselves at home. And it's very difficult to encourage them to leave. Mm-hmm. So that, and then it turned out, I guess because they were talking about the brownies in class, then the brownies went to another person in the class's house. So they both had brownies. One of them found like her glasses in the refrigerator, things like that. Mm-hmm. Things disappeared. Like one of, they like shiny things, so they'll take it to the other dimension.
Yeah.
So she had these nice pair of diamond earrings. Well, now she has one diamond earring. So these brownies don't seem to be on the same, how do I use it? Under the same moral code. As the ones you're talking about.
That's so funny that you bring that up.
Because they're like the guests that never leave.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lesson. Yeah, they're chaos energy. And that's something funny that you bring up, because people, when they meet me, a lot of spirit people meet me and they immediately call me a fae. And I'll inside myself go, mm-mm, they don't know me.
Yeah.
Because I had, I would like to say, maybe battles with the fae in whichever, because of this mischievous energy that they are. I wasn't ready to come to terms with how they move in this realm. And they are very mischievous, and they have their place extreme for lessons. And
the other thing I forgot, and both of them experienced this, the brownies like to tease the animals. So if you have a cat or a dog, the dog or the cat will all of a sudden like run to the other side of the room because they're they're trying to either poke at them or ride them or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's the coin. There's not just one type of energy, like mm-hmm. not everything is light and love in the same way that we perceive it.
And I don't think the brownies are malevolent.
No, not
they
at all.
They just have a different set of, like I said, boundaries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the ones you're talking are very respectful about boundaries. And so I appreciate that most of them are probably like that. But this is why I made the deal when I moved in the cabin, because I was thinking about those brownies. It's like, nope, you guys do whatever you want, just leave me alone.
But I feel like it's just like a relationship, like any other kind of relationship. Yeah. So the moment you are like fearful, they're gonna mess more with
you.
The moment you put this like guard up, like they're gonna be like, well, what, why are you guarding, why are you protecting?
I don't think I'm coming from fear. Well, no, I just think I'm setting benevolent boundaries.
I'm just establishing like out general public, because what we're trying to do is kind of like let people know how they react. So what is the best approach to them is just having an open heart space and mm-hmm. having a high vibration. Because the last thing, I mean, if you have a low vibration, let's face it, not even humans want to be around you.
Yeah, totally. So I guess if you remember a life where you were adversarial or at least trying to contain them, then probably didn't have a heart space that was really open at the time.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I didn't have that perception at the time. I just constantly go, the fae. And I, you know, fae people weren't always my favorite either. I would recognize a fae person immediately and be like, not my brand, you know. But that just shows like a lot of growth that we're having here on this planet by having these influences.
Yes.
These influences are so key to our evolution in ways that we can't even comprehend truly in the human form at this time.
I think,
and it's revealing itself as we move along. It's like, oh, they all we all have our place in this great lessons.
Well, anything that's working with Earth definitely has a place. They all have a job and they all have a function.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I don't know why the mischievousness is part of the function for some of them, but okay.
It's fun.
It's fun. And that's what this, like, that's where the simulation comes in, and this, like, turning it into fun again, remembering that it all has its purpose, and that the cool thing about this dimension is the dimensionality of it. All of us here, this, like, mix of cosmic and starseed and Earth beings and dragons, and I mean, pretty much everything you can imagine is incarnated now in one place. Like, how lucky are we? I mean, I don't know if we could say the same about the Pleiades, that they they have.
It's very standardized.
It's standardized. It's in this one frequency band. Like, we are in layers and layers of frequency right now. Blind. Looking for our eyes. And it's really a crazy experiment that only, I think, the bravest of the brave chose to take on, because, you know, our minds can't even start to begin to comprehend the layers of it. And it's through the elementals' gifts that they have. I mean, that's why I think there's always so much like, look over here, look over here, so that you don't take that time to take a breath.
Yeah.
And to tap into the unseen realm that's here. That's not out there, but that's like actually here.
That's what I would recommend. If you are wanting to have an experience, or even if you don't want to, just you should do this anyway. Mm-hmm. Go into a forest. And it's hard to, like if you live in a populated area, it's hard
park,
to find. Because
she used to go to Discovery Park.
Yeah,
we've had incredible.
But go somewhere where you can have some privacy. Where you can get into the woods. Even if you go to like a popular hiking trail, like what you would find around in the Pacific Northwest. Yeah, I know they say don't go off the trail, but go off the trail a couple hundred yards. Just walk off the trail until you find yourself. Maybe bring one of those little folding chairs and just be there and sit quietly. And when you first go out there, all the little chipmunks and birds are going to start sounding the alarm system. Everyone's going to be on guard. But just sit there for like 15, 20 minutes and they'll quiet down. Mm-hmm. And then you can start having this like a connection with the animals and the birds and the spirit, the elemental spirits and all the things that are around. You just quiet down and allow them to observe them, I should say.
Them. And the other thing is that this is something I wanted to bring up earlier, is that in our dream state is the state where we can also connect and also bring that awareness. The elementals love to come into the dream state and show up it for us in ways. So don't ever disregard what you're seeing in the dream state as well, because the dream state can actually show you so many clues of who you're connected to, whether it be the whales or mermaids or Sasquatch. For me, that's where the Sasquatch had me. They were always showing up in the dream state. Okay. They were always doing incredibly miraculous things that would show up during the day to show me that, yeah, we were there last night. You know, so if you don't have the chance to go out into the woods, if you're fearful, start the dream state before you go to sleep. Ask for an elemental to come into your dream state.
Set the intention.
And, and then you will see it in your waking days. You'll be guided to that place in the forest or that person that you feel comfortable with to take you there. Because I know a lot of people have a fear, so they can't even let the forest calm down enough to connect. You know, so there's so many other ways, because we've had experiences in our home in the city with Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. But I think it took an opening. You need to like open the door and say, okay, I can handle this. Yeah. Come on in too, because we are in free will. So if you're not allowing it to come, it's not going to. I saw Lola change so dramatically since I met her with allowing the Sasquatch even into her awareness from the time I met her.
Yeah.
And be gifted by them, because they will gift you. They will show you that they're there with little trinkets and such, rocks and things that are out of place.
And so, Erin, do you have any stories that you would like to share about the Sasquatch, since I know that you have a deep connection to with them? So if I had to say, what would be a good, profound story that really just made you realize Sasquatch and what they're about and made you really open up to them?
I'm going to tell you that the most profound thing, and this kind of worked through somebody else, was a book that was published called Sasquatch Message to Humanity.
My brother Sunbo.
Yeah, Sunbo.
I've seen that one. Yeah. It's not even... Oh, sorry, the cat just jumped on the table. You just heard some noise.
It's incredible.
Speaking of elementals, hey.
An incredible book that was really... It was just like one of those books that you read and it makes you remember. And he had... Went up... He lived up in Montreal, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he was just lived... He kind of just living in the woods in Montreal. And he would have this connection with the Sasquatch he called Camus.
Camus. Yeah, Camus.
Camus. And Camus had this message for humanity, so he would channel this Sasquatch into writing, and it was like the whole history of the planet Earth from its inception, all the different beings that were here before, the moon, how the moon got up in the sky and all this stuff. And it was just such, as I was reading it, it was just like I was remembering it as I was reading it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so triggered.
Absolutely. And I was on fire. So Mo, like she talked about earlier, she was reading the book, The Psychic Sasquatch. I read that book. We talked about it. And then I think I looked him up on the internet, on Facebook, the person that wrote the book, and saw that his connection to Sunbo. And Sunbo had, he was putting his book out for free on the internet called The Message to Humanity.
So people can find it as a PDF.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah, probably still.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still free, but it was as he was he was releasing it as he wrote it.
Oh, I see.
And I was just really
the Dr. Sala show talking about it.
Was he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that experience was probably the most profound, life changing experience for me, was just connecting with that channeling through the book.
Because you actually, your body physically heated up.
Oh, is that what you're saying? I was on fire about it. Yeah. I mean, I was just like, this is so much truth. This makes sense. This ties so many things that I had in my head. It ties so many things together. So as far as seeing Sasquatch with my own eyes, I've had like glimpses of large figures that I would see out of the corner of my eye. But as far as like with my 3D eyes, I've not really had an experience where I definitely say I'm looking at a Sasquatch person right now, but you have a feeling. They've come to me in my dreams.
Remember that time in the tent when we were at Cholula and it sounded like coyotes, but then it changed while we were like, it was like half dream, half awake.
Yeah,
we shared that experience. That. And then one time when they were looking in the window through a dream.
Yeah, through the dream. And then I've had they talk about large wood knocks, like someone taking a big log and knocking against a tree. And I've experienced that, like this huge thunderous wood knocks in the during night. Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's something that the Sasquatch people are known for. Usually they do it as they can warn people to stay out of their territory by doing that. And sometimes they'll do that just to let themselves know let you know that they are there. To make you aware, but a lot of people have documented this in their Sasquatch experience, and I've actually heard with my own ears really just extremely loud tree knocks that you would be like, what? That's like not possible without in the middle of the night. It's just not possible without something massive swinging against a tree.
Yeah. You know. Really. Yeah. The same guy, Brother Sunbo, we were at something with him, and there was an amphitheater, and there was, how many people do you think was at the amphitheater? There was 40 or 50 people in the amphitheater. It was nighttime, and half of us saw Camus, the Sasquatch, walking behind Sunbo, and half of the people didn't. And people were like going like this and grabbing each other, and other people were just like, no, we didn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really profound experience where we, you know, half of the group saw and half of the group didn't.
Interdimensionality.
Yeah, interdimensionality. Yeah. It's So we've learned all these kinds of things that we wouldn't have even, I mean, I didn't have any idea about any of that kind of stuff. I mean, I had read quantum physics stuff, but I didn't have this like physical experience of having these things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a time where I had a dream that I was in a fire circle. In the dream, I was singing this song about love with these hairy beings. Aaron woke up and I wasn't in the bed.
Oh, wow.
And he went into the little apartment that he was at, and he thought I had gone home in the night. And he went back into the room and I was in the bed. So there was a time where I woke up because, you know, he had gotten up and I was like, oh, I was singing this song about love. And there was a woman in the dream I had never seen before. And I got so, like, because he told me I wasn't in the bed. So in the morning, I'm Googling the books, author on Facebook, trying to figure out, you know, what they look like. And the wife of the author was the lady in the circle. And I had never seen her before in my life.
Well, that's awesome.
So really, really amazing multidimensionality things. And the way our lives changed from just reading these books and meeting some people that were connected to these books was just, still to this day, this is the reason why Aaron makes tensor technology. It's the reason why I can see through dimensions. And it all started from the Sasquatch book and us coming together,
like
too.
The Sasquatch people brought us together.
It truly did.
It was like a group of like 60 or 70 people that we met. They had this Psychic Sasquatch conference. It was out in Chihuahua over in Eastern Washington, but people come from all over the world for it.
And I would never have gone by myself, ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. Aaron's like, we're going to this thing. I got tickets. And I'm like, you know, like, not my thing.
It's out in this learning center. The learning center was like 2,000 or 3,000 feet in elevation. You're out in the middle of nowhere in the forest, and they had built this beautiful, what is it called? It's a big
like
structure.
A sanctuary type thing.
Yeah. Kind of thing. I guess they used it for
interpretive for center. It was like
they used it for
center.
Kids to do courses. What's it called?
Yeah, like day camps and stuff.
Yeah, where they obstacle courses.
Yeah, obstacle like courses.
But they had this place out there in the woods, and it was just a beautiful place. All these incredibly beautiful people, just incredibly beautiful people from all over the world, from all over the United States came, and the people that we met and connected with completely changed the trajectory of our lives forever.
Forever.
And so forever. I can say that it was the discovery of the Sasquatch people that changed and impacted my life more than anything else.
Same. Oh, cool.
Okay, so one question that I had that I was going to ask you guys of getting your opinions on it. So as we know that our mother, Gaia, is moving into fifth dimension and we're all shifting into that. So I was reading this thing that was really interesting, and it really kind of, I felt like it made a connection in my heart space, and it really felt like it was truth. And what it was saying about how elementals were really coming together, because they say, well, if the earth is like, they're having all this fight between them, we have to come together and we need to make that peace. So that there was a shift that happened with the elemental world of deciding to have peace amongst them, meaning like whatever issues they might have had in the past, they finally made peace with that. And then the other thing too is by doing that, it's like we all know that there's like paradigms that are obviously like programs, really, like the good, the bad, or whatever. Like that doesn't, like, I mean, it's such a, once you evolve, you see that there's a reason for everything, mm-hmm. that there's no such thing. But nonetheless, they are here. They are helping us. They do want us to help with the ascension. So they're taking the first step themselves on raising, just coming together and no longer having anything between them, coming more of a form unity, for lack of a better word, in order to assist humanity. Mm-hmm. However, because of our free will, they can't interfere in certain things, such as, for example, like sometimes what we don't understand is like, which we kind of go back into that religious savior complex, is like, no one can save you, because what we have to understand is we need to step into full ownership of what are we doing and what are we creating. And as a result of that, what are we manifesting for ourselves? So humanity, for example, they've been pretty much destroying the planet. So there's things coming up, and it's not a thing of, we ever wish anything bad upon anyone. It's just the fact that every action has a reaction. So sometimes they can't interfere and they can't be our saviors, but they're definitely helping us moving into that ascension process. So obviously we all have stories and stuff, but how do you feel the connection between like just the elemental world with humanity and what they're doing now for us? Like, if you guys would like to share just how you feel about it.
I feel like they're an allyship, like more of a friendship.
Yeah.
Like what we're supposed to do for each other, set examples.
Yes.
Not here to savior or have Christ complex in that way, but to live like the consciousness, mm-hmm. to see how they move and to move along with that. And right. And they can help us in maybe our own healing, mm-hmm. but not in the free willness that we came here to do. Like, why would we want anybody to save us?
Yep. Exactly.
Why? I mean, just to come here and just to be like, help me. And then we get helped and then it's over. No, we're supposed to rise up and become these heroes, yeah. of our journey. So I believe that they're an ally, you know, yeah. like a great force that's here to ask for advice.
Yes.
Ask for advice. Ask for an example of how it's done and then doing that. That's what I think.
I think that's come up before in this discussion is mm-hmm. about being open and asking to connect with the elementals.
Yeah, because they can't do nothing can do anything to help you until you ask for that.
Yeah.
And it's help. It's not doing it for you.
Exactly. It's more of a clarity. It's more of a show me what would be the easiest way to do this.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we are, that they're waiting for us.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Well, yeah, they have to have permission. Well, yeah, because if we raise our vibration, it helps them.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. what's happening here is happening on all the levels. Mm-hmm. On all the levels. It's not just us that's raising in frequency. They are too. So like you said, they have to come together and yeah. put down maybe some of their stuff.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. So the elemental beings are waiting for us, and I think they put forth messengers, mm-hmm. which is activated by us making a connection with them, giving them thought form, giving them a personality. We actually create an opportunity for them to bring forth messengers and liaisons to work with us, mm-hmm. by our awareness of them.
Yeah, and there are a lot of interesting you use the word thought form, because there are a lot of power in thought forms mm-hmm. that are not being utilized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you have this conscious awareness of them and you ask to work with them,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Then you activate them.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's very powerful of
very
us.
Powerful. Can,
yeah.
And that's the other thing too that I was going to bring up is the fact that, so I know from me experiencing going into sacred sites, they're protective of the sacred sites, not so much because of like the sacred. So what we're talking about, it's actually power grids. And we're talking about the energy that the earth already has that is trying, like it's coming back on. Mm-hmm. So they're also, I feel that they're also really assisting us with just bringing that. It's not new technology. It's just technology we're tapping into, because we know like in the times of Atlantis, in the times of Lemuria, we had so much access to so much technology, and all of a sudden like these for lack of a better word, people like beings that are trying to control us are trying to suppress that. Well, there's people on our side such as elementals helping us to connect back with what we've always known. And sometimes I feel like the reflection of where we're moving to, it's what's creating our open communication with them. Mm-hmm. Because we're also talking about way higher dimensions. Like usually like that I know of, like, I can't say that I'm like completely correct, but elementals can be anywhere from like five dimension and up on the dimension thing. So that's why we can't see them, but it doesn't mean they're not there. And then we have like our greatest ally, which is like crystals and stuff that is just here with conscious, connecting with us, allowing us to open up to so much of what's there for us.
And the water, like you said.
And the water, of course, yeah, builds them.
Elementals that we can actually see and feel.
No, like there are elementals that we can actually see and feel. Mm-hmm.
And so since we're getting close, I would love to hear from you guys just your take on what can we do as humans to have a better connection with elementals and just be more present and allow them to really come into us.
Awareness.
Yeah.
Be aware that we are surrounded, completely surrounded by all kinds of elemental beings. And all that it takes to connect with them is to just be conscious of them and try to interact with them.
And
just
have that intention.
Intention, yeah. Intention and just try to bring that awareness into a connection.
But also having your heart as open as possible.
Yeah, yep. You know, and if you're having a hard time with that connection, put the rock from outside onto your heart. Just set it on your heart try not to use any words. Just beam that love vibration into the rock and profound things will happen immediately. Mm-hmm. An eagle will come and fly past you, whatever it is, that it will show you that it's listening to you. Yeah.
To connect.
And there's no wrong way. As long as you're going at it without fear.
Yeah.
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 And it doesn't have to be the prettiest rock in the garden.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have to be. I mean, talk to the air.
Yeah.
Ask the air to show you that it's listening, and it will blow when there's no wind. Mm-hmm. It's a guarantee. I promise you this.
You can connect with mischievous elementals, like we were talking about earlier. Like, you can connect to anything. Like, if you want to attract, you can attract whatever kind of elementals to you to connect with. So
yeah. Well, and there's no wrong way. As long as you're doing it with your heart.
Yeah.
If you want to have an open comedy season in your home, then go for it. I would recommend that you think twice about brownies. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, Mo's always complaining, not complaining, but she's always stating that how I'm always attracting.
He brings them all kinds of
different beings that are not always. The
so,
most.
Yeah, but because you have free will, you can set the parameters.
Oh, sure. For yourself.
I have a lot of fun with
it. Oh, yeah. He's always having beings at the bottom of the bed. He's always bringing in things at night that I would have not brought in. But we do have free will over our own areas and our own space, even if we're right next door to one that loves the mischievous ones as well. I don't like my stuff going missing.
Yeah. Like I said, glasses in the fridge.
Yeah,
no.
And I've had too much them taking my stuff, so.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we called this Elementals 101 because we barely scratched the surface here, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think it was a lot of interesting information. We could dive deeper into some of the other types of elementals, but I hope this was fun for everybody. Speaking of fun, to hear all of our perspectives on our experiences with elementals. Mm-hmm. Anything you guys want to say before we go?
The greatest language that you have on this planet is through the heart and through frequency. So you are not who you think you are. Remember that.
Thank you for listening and please share. And thank you guys for coming in.
Yes.
We're so happy to have you.
You guys are our go-to for nature type information. Yes.
Let nature be your teacher.
Okay, on that note, we will see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.